listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. How's the you? Keep it real, take the red pill.
He's scheduled for 60 minutes next. He's going on French, British, Italian, Japanese television. People everywhere are starting to listen to him. It's embarrassing.
Okay, well, this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm not sure if I'm late coming on the show or not. I'm not used to that. Okay, so this is, again, Red Pill Hardcore. I'm your host, V. I have my co-host here, Bill the Butcher.
Good evening.
And I also have Will Herbert from Men of Truth.
Gentlemen.
And we are supposed to be having a friend of mine on the show, a man by the name of Chuck Ocelli from the Ocelli Effect. And what a great guy. I was on his show, and I've never met a host that just asked all the right questions. I really look up to the guy. Very knowledgeable about things, and actually spoke about things, even scientifically, on levels that I don't get to speak with people about. Even the doctors and scientists. I speak to a lot of whistleblowers, and it's great. There are very seasoned hosts out there that do this sort of thing and are very knowledgeable. I was very happy. I was very proud. The interview itself was censored like hell on Facebook, on social networks, even from his side. He got the whole internet computer problems, which is standard when I'm a guest on a show, and which is a real dead giveaway. I'll always say that it's a real dead giveaway. It can't just be me with 3-4 different internets. So process of elimination, that sort of thing. So I'm going to add him in right now, and we'll see if he's able to hear us when he joins. But for right now, Bill, did you have any article that you've written today where people can find that?
I wrote 5 articles today, and you will find them on Weird Wilbur at WordPress, basically. And then on Facebook, go to James Green Senior or Doc Green. That's usually where I hit it. I addressed, several things. Some was funny, some was not so funny. So y'all enjoyed everything, and do your thing. But thank you for asking.
Okay. Well, what did you write about? Do you have names of the articles?
Oh, Lord. Well, I don't want to go off my page here and lose the call.
Oh, okay.
Basically, there was a gentleman, and I mispronounce his name all the time. Saraguchi, whatever. Anyway, this guy that had a job for like 11 days, Donald Trump, and he got fired. And now he's saying that Donald Trump was an idiot last night, and he was under drugs and all this. We don't see CNN today. Unfortunately, we had a reporter for the butcher shop that was right beside Donald Trump, and that is a total lie. And the title of the article is A Meth Head in a Car Wash. You might enjoy that.
I love the titles of your articles. They're always the best. You know how to make people want to read your articles, that's for sure.
Well, I have my moments. I have my moments.
Okay. Well, we have Mr. Chuck Ocelli here on the show from The Ocelli Effect. How are you doing there, Mr. Ocelli?
Doing okay. How are you guys tonight?
Doing okay. You know me, V, already. I have my co-host on here with me, Bill the Butcher from The Butcher
Welcome.
Shop.
Welcome.
And Will Turbot from The Man the Truth.
Hey, what's going on? I believe you might know my friend Adam Fitzgerald.
Oh, wait. You know Adam?
I do. Him and I disagree a little bit on 9/11. We both agree that it's not what the government told us, but he's a very, very caring, smart, and well-researched man, and he's a good dude.
Yeah, you know what? You and I share exactly the same viewpoint on Adam. He's a good dude, exactly. So, great to hear from you as well. And Bill the Butcher, gotta love that name, man. Gotta tell you. So, V, thanks for inviting me tonight.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no problem. I love to have a little powwow, even though we don't have a subject. I think it's a little funny.
I like this guy already, man. I really do.
Well, I think it's funny that 9/11 is brought up, and technically it's 9/11 right now where I'm at.
I'm not interrupting, and I won't interrupt anymore, but 9/11 is my birthday, okay, and everybody knows my birthday, so happy birthday to me.
Oh, yes, happy birthday there, big boy.
All right.
Happy birthday, my friend.
Yeah, happy birthday for sure. Gotta tell you, I don't share happiness on 9/11 with you, and it was long before 2001, but that's okay. You know, it seems to me as though 9/11 is a day of tragedy, and in my personal life it certainly was. So, you know, it is what it is. My father, who took his own life, did it on September 11th, 1976. So,
oh, wow.
Not exactly a fun day for me my entire life. Of course, I was 4 years old then. But anyway, so that day lived in infamy in my personal life always. And, you know, just has gathered more and more problems. Interesting thing. His mother actually died of natural causes exactly 40 years later on the same date. So not happy with 9/11 personally on a lot of levels, my friend. So, you know, sorry it is your birthday, and I know that's probably kind of an interesting thing for you and all, but personally, that's always been a toxic day to me, and, you know, it's just what it is.
Well, I say we
reclaim 9/11 as a celebratory day, the day that we stand forward in peace to destroy these people nonviolently and what they've done to us. So let's take this day back and take it as ours. They always like to invert their stuff, so let's invert this.
Well, exactly. You know, before the towers fell, the only thing that I had on my birthday that was historic was that General Bradley told Patton that he was to hold back and let Montgomery enter Germany first. And Patton, being Patton, he already went over into Germany, and he sent word to Eisenhower that he'd done it. And Eisenhower told him, you shouldn't have done that. I gave you orders. And Patton wrote back and said, Ike, I pissed in the Rhine. Would you want me to take it back?
Also been a couple of interesting coups that have occurred where the United States intelligence community has overthrown certain governments on different years, that would be, but on September 11th as well. So it is apparently some esoteric date that people keep selecting. Just footnote there. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, can I step back here and ask, would you feel better if the butcher did the show, the rest of the show, in his birthday suit?
I have no interest in the butcher in his birthday suit, but you know what? I believe in people's personal freedoms, so, you know, do what you got to do.
Well, hey, I'll tell you. Hey, yeah, all right, listen. Ozzy was hold on. Hey, come on. You got to steal my thunder here, okay? Listen to me. None of my six ex-wives were impressed with my birthday suit, okay?
See, now we're going into some strange issues here. I mean, do we want to start comparing ex-wives and all that? I only got one ex-wife, but you know what? She's big enough to be three, and you guys have seen her before. You know, usually with little Japanese guys screaming under her feet saying, Godzilla, because, you know, she was 6'3 and well above three bills. So, yeah, that would be the ex-wife, and now you can use your imagination to get all twisted up. How about that?
Well, I tell you what, I met when I was in Nashville, I met a lot of people in the music industry, and I met Waylon Jennings over at Alabama Studio one time, and he was married many times, and I was married many times, and I went over to fix one of their computers, and he told me, he said, hey, old hoss, why don't we get all our ex-wives together and have a baseball game?
What can I say? You know, that's the thing, though, is when things start to go around, they come around in baseball, and I got to tell you, I can't imagine having six ex-wives. I don't know how you're still alive, Chief. I couldn't have survived that stuff.
You know, if it were just me, I would just say
I became fundamentalist Mormon. Don't worry about it.
Well, if it was me, I'd say, you know, I'd just, you know, have a nice game of pogo and teach them all how to use it. But anyhow, I think we got so far left field here for this show. I want to get more into
this man is the best guest we've ever had. I love this man.
Let's find out who he is. We don't know much about him. So, Chuck, tell us all about you and tell us about your show.
Listen, really, really, really quickly, it works like this. If you're sort of on the right side of the equation, you hate me. If you're sort of on the left side of the equation, you probably hate me. So it's just about where it's at. I am somebody who believes in conspiracy because most of the theories are not theories. They're historical realities that have yet to be revealed in whole. It is that simple. I got known as a JFK assassination researcher, and I have debunked a lot of very bad theories. But one of the worst theories of all, of course, was the official theory. And that is the interesting part about me. I seem to, again, piss off everybody. Whether you're a conspiracy theorist or you're a lone nut guy when it comes to JFK, you also probably hate me. Even though I get called upon to do presentations about that from time to time, I run my mouth, as you can plainly hear at the moment, and that is what I do, and that's why I do it 5 days a week through my own platform at Ocelli.com. And yeah, that's kind of a plug, but you asked, so there you go. What am I? I'm in my 40s. I'm damn near blind. And I've been like that my entire life. As a matter of fact, I was called the blind JFK researcher for a long time. I also used to be a musician. I've been in security. And hey, here's a weird disclosure. And one time I actually applied for a job with the NSA before I became a little more aware. But I was rejected. Anyway, and not because I was incapable and not because I was blind. So I'll leave that again to your imagination. I'm on various blacklists. I have an FBI file that they opened up on me when I was 12 years old for daring to ask President Reagan exactly how much sense it made to continue to produce nuclear weapons. And the FBI has ever after maintained that file. And now I'm sure it resides with the Department of Homeland Security, who has made their presence well known to me on several occasions throughout my life. So, all of that having been said, like I said, I do that radio show 5 days a week. I also produce others. And again, a guy who is able to adequately run his mouth coherently. So, how's that for a quick synopsis?
Well, you forgot at least one thing. We all have a friend in common, the great Roger Landry.
I would like to show up. One thing he said several times that I'm really interested in. First of all, NSA, if you're listening to this broadcast, my name is Ted Clevenger. Now, Second off, everything. I am highly interested in your theories and ideas on the JFK assassination. When you get ready, shall we go to Dealey Plaza?
Oh, well, if you want to do a really rudimentary study, sure, we can go to Dealey Plaza. But if you'd like, we can discuss the medical evidence. If you want, we can discuss the official investigations. We can discuss the various independent investigations. We could talk about some of the film theories, if you like. You know, wherever it is you want to go, that's all fine with me. But remember this very carefully. I spent nearly a quarter century studying some things that almost make no sense considering who I am. A lot of films, a lot of, you know, I had to learn basic medical forensic pathology in order to fully understand the medical evidence and stuff like that. So I'm self-taught with that. I have nothing more than a high school diploma, but again, a lot of years with analysis, dealing with all these things, and documentation, which means I'm also familiar with exactly how the CIA decides to file things and not file things. So, you know, there is a wide array of places we could go. But if you want to go to Dealey Plaza, I've got no problem with grade school. Yes.
Let me add in here that if you have a government education, you're probably, if you're depending on that to be investigating anything that the government does, well, good luck with that. You're going to need to go through some re-education.
A
re-education of your own.
I like what you said about the high school education. I love that. I love that because I always can tell people with the coverage that I get in what I write, and they think that I've got a doctorate degree. I have a high school education from Killeen High School in Texas, which is as ignorant as you can be, and they still let you drive a car, okay?
I'll put it up against Neptune, New Jersey.
Absolutely. And so I'm highly interested in your opinion, sir. Thank you for coming on our show. You've been more interesting in 17 minutes than the last 20 shows we've had. Thank you.
Well, I aim to please, but, you know, this is just me being me. So, as I told B, you know, whatever it is you guys want to do, we'll just roll and see how it rolls. So, sure.
Well, we only have 2 minutes before the break. So, let me start off just by posing a general question. Mm-hmm. Was it the fact that he was wanting to print new money, or was wanting information released on UFOs, or maybe had more information than he should have on the mob? I mean, what was the straw that broke the camel's back? What really brought the assassination on?
You just mentioned three of the more interesting theories to most people who haven't studied the case in depth. And, you know, there are people that feel as though they have, and they have been led down some bad paths. So let me dispose of. How many minutes you got to the break?
1 minute. Then we'll come back.
All right. Let me do my best to dispose of all
59, 58, 57, 50.
So when it comes to the Federal Reserve notes thing and everybody talking about the silver certificates, guess what? The executive order that people cite is misquoted and misunderstood. JFK actually relinquished his control over the distribution of the silver certificate and the U.S. note, which is a monetary instrument that most people don't understand. And this has become part of patriot mythology. Unfortunately, it is not true. So the Federal Reserve thing has an edge to it, but it is not about those silver certificates. And that's something that'll take longer to break down. As far as the alien stuff, when it comes to the Majestic 12 documents, the majority of those things have been absolutely provably, easily provably, in fact, to be fabrications, which I actually feel as though were created intentionally to misdirect individuals. When it comes to the mob, interesting story about the mob. It's hard to tell where the mob and the intelligence agencies end in the 1960s in a lot of cases, but problem. The mafia in and of itself didn't have all the motivation necessary to pull it off alone.
Okay, great spot to leave that on, and we'll be right back after this break.
Yeah, crown is mine. Yeah. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
Yeah, so we are back. And Chuck, this is our short segment. We're going to have another break at 29 minutes into the hour here. So if you want to go ahead and expound upon what you said before the break, please feel free.
Sure. Which part would you like me to begin with?
Well, I like how you left off talking about the mafia there, because I know the FBI was created to basically deal with the FBI, and they ended up just merging with the mafia. I mean, I know of lots of high-level Italian Freemasons who still have their hand, you know, passed down, you know, their family. They're in the FBI right now. So, I mean, can you tell us what you know about that?
Well, I can put it to you this way. I have interviewed personally some very interesting characters in my life. Some interviews I'm not allowed to publicly share. And I got to tell you that it's a fascinating story, the evolution of the FBI and what actually happened regarding organized crime. But here's the thing about it. The FBI was pretty much, you know, meant to be left out of the equation when it came to law enforcement with the, you know, what I'll politely refer to as Italian businessmen. And you know, there's an interesting thing about that, and that is that other agencies certainly saw various criminal elements, regardless of how organized they were, as assets. The OSS did. I've been recently covering the evolution of the OSS, the Special Investigation Services, the various types of evolutions, which led us to this cacophony of intelligence agencies that exist today. We're only as far as, you know, the 1950s or so in the evolution. But it is really interesting the way that the CIA had no issue utilizing everybody. Okay. The OSS did it as well. The records are not as well known. An organization that was called the Pond, which nobody ever talks about, and it became known as the Pond, although it started out in a slightly different way. Also, people are under the misconception that the OSS directly leads to the CIA. The CIA became the intelligence agency of supremacy at one point, and it is because they had the greatest control over criminal elements on an international level. The FBI was kept on the sideline, and not the least of which because it was the baby of J. Edgar Hoover's, and Hoover was indebted to a lot of people that were Italian businessmen in one way or another. Basically, you know, the stories of blackmail do have an element of truth to them, although people like Gordon Novell and individuals like that have exaggerated certain claims. There is a real element of keeping J. Edgar Hoover, and that's why even toward the end of his life, he still did not really want to combat organized crime in any significant fashion, and continuously undermined that process throughout his tenure as FBI director, which lasted all the way to his death. You know, in case people don't know that, they should really look into the curious history of J. Edgar Hoover. But
because he's a transvestite?
Well, there's that, you know, there's that element, but there's a lot of other strange things to this guy and strange connections, again, to various criminal elements who, you know, gave him a lot of privileges in places where he wanted to be and things like that. There was a give and take between the FBI and organized crime for many, many years. All the way up until really the 1980s, once all of Hoover's legacy people were finally out of the agency, then you see a change because, well, you know, where do people go? To the highest bidder in our government, don't they? So there were higher bidders at that time, higher than the Italian money. You know, the lira is not worth as much as the ruble was in the 1980s. Especially considering that various elements of Russian criminal organized crime, families and stuff, were about to become part of the next wave of the government, which, you know, when they talk about Russian oligarchs, a lot of them started out as really, you know, Russian mob guys one way or another, and finance agents and things like that. And it's kind of interesting that today there are still elements of the allegedly legitimate government there, which, you know, again, I always have to use the word allegedly when we're talking about governments anywhere. So also I got to apologize because I've already done about, well, what, 4 hours of my own radio today, and I produced a couple hours. So you guys are getting me rather tired and, you know, low on the energetic scale, just so you know.
Well, that's okay. We're going to have to go to our next commercial break, but
God, I hate to catch him when he's energetic.
Yeah, you would.
Well, all right. Well, we're going to jump back into it when we come back.
We'll be right back. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
All right, we are back. So, I'm actually a little bit surprised to hear Will just pop up at the beginning of the show there, like, hey, we have a friend in common. Will, have you followed any of Mr. Ochilli's work?
Actually, I just started noticing him recently after I knew that Adam, who's our mutual friend, they did an interview or so, and so I just started kind of finding out about him. I was actually in the car with one of my friends who helped me put on my show, and he was like, oh yeah, this guy knows Adam. No, that's crazy, because Adam was working behind the scenes, and he even donated a webcam to me to help me kind of get the man the truth off, not just on like the local radio and stuff, but also on to the full-scale thing. But I did want to ask, you know, especially since he said that he was, you know, was interested in working with the NSA and stuff, so he's obviously a very intelligent dude. What changed your thought? You know, what kind of woke you up?
Well, you know, it's a fascinating kind of story. It was a gradual thing. First off, what happened when I was 18 started to give me some serious hints about what was wrong with the circumstance. Okay, As I said, my father had been somebody who took his own life. Now, he was a veteran. He had served in Vietnam, right? I applied as a handicapped survivor, a child of a veteran, to see if I could go to college, to be honest with you, because I didn't have the money. And I got back a letter strongly advising me that if I made false claims like this again, I could be prosecuted. I found that rather strange, considering the fact that I had photographs of the man in Vietnam, considering the fact that I had his dog tags, considering the fact that I knew that that is what gave him the condition that caused him to be in the condition to think that it was a good idea to take his life, okay? And there, they stated that there was absolutely no record of him ever having served. Well, that did not reemerge again, by the way, until 2004, or 2007, excuse me, when apparently moving some Vietnam-era records, his record was rediscovered. And this is some 20 years after I applied and was threatened with making, you know, false statements to the government or some nonsense. I forget what the exact crime was. That was part of the process. But another part of the process came up when I got married, actually. And here it is, you know. A guy who was her ex-husband threatened to blow up the boat that we were supposed to get married on. Now, we went and filed a restraining order like good people would, right? And this triggered a response from Homeland Security because, guess what? If you threaten to blow up a registered naval vessel, then terrorism aspects get activated, right? Now, I'm the victim in this case, aren't I?
Yeah.
The FBI came knocking on our door the night before our wedding and informed us that they were going to be planted all around the wedding and informed us that, in fact, people with well-skilled sniper credentials would also be posted. And you'd think, well, gee, as an American, you feel protected, right? But what did they do in addition? They separated her from me and started explaining to her that, you know, I might actually be sort of a dangerous individual because I was somebody who believed that the United States' own military and elements of the CIA had been working in concert with one another to assassinate a president. And in fact, I had made other radical statements in my lifetime that might want to give her pause about maybe marrying a guy like me. And if she had any information about any particular activities that I might be involved in, they would be interested to know. How's that sound for a wake-up call to you?
Well, love intelligence, or love it for short, is something that these agencies do. It's not just human, it's not just, just these other things. You know, they can hack you, they can follow you in person, but something that they love to do is to try to get in your personal relationships. I have firsthand experience with that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, V. Well, here's the thing, V. If you have not made any public statements, see, I didn't have a radio show at that time. I have not written a book on the Kennedy case. I'm in the process of doing it now. But I had not written a book. I had not given a presentation. All I had done, actually, was private research with individuals. I had contributed my own research freely to individuals who were making films, who were writing books. And this was done very privately, one-to-one, with names some people might even know, where I gave over information, where I conducted interviews, again, with some Italian businessmen, that they did not have access to, that I did. That I was willing to sit down with somebody who was an admitted and confirmed assassin. That I was willing to do that, and some of the authors and filmmakers and things like that were not willing to do so in order to garner information. Now, that's a whole other background story, but all of those things were done in a private capacity, and somehow or other, the FBI not only had that, but they had my entire history leading all the way back to that letter I wrote to President Reagan when I was 12 years old. So, you know, the intrusive nature of the post 9/11 reality finally hit home with me, and that was 2007. And I had known that the government lied because I had studied the JFK case. I had known the government lied because of the situation in my personal life. I had known that the government was willing to lie and maybe cover certain things up. But once I got a hold of this information, once I got to see it and watch somebody try to recruit my soon-to-be wife to be an asset against me, yeah, that's a good enough wake-up call, don't you think?
Absolutely. And how exactly, I'm missing how the information of your father got brought back into the picture. How they reaffirm that?
Well, being a document researcher and working with other document researchers, I can usually uncover the government files, the, you know, things that are able to be gotten at via FOIAs and all that kind of stuff. See, I do have techniques that I don't always discuss. And the thing is, that is kind of a little bit of a private story where another researcher assisted me in pulling military records that, by the way, the government still does not want to give to me, but I have part of them. Okay. Interesting story there is that I found out through a private interview somebody saw when I put up online a picture of my father. Somebody saw him, called me, I met with them. And I got told a very interesting story about how my extremely young father was recruited straight out of boot camp to be a sniper and under the auspices of military intelligence. And this is why his file was disappeared.
Okay.
So yeah, there you go. Bingo.
So that's why they wanted to get to you early, too, because they thought you may be a potential threat. Am I wrong?
Well, I clearly was not going to have the natural skill with a firearm that he had. I tell you publicly, I do have some skill, but not as much as my father had. I have bad eyesight, like I said, right? It's not like I don't know how to use one. Keep that in mind. All right. Now, I say that jokingly because, you know, I relish my death threats. I really do when I say things that apparently disturb people. So, just saying, you know, if you do come knocking, don't expect to walk away. All right.
Yes,
it is, folks, but I will defend myself. You know, I respect people who believe in nonviolence, but I believe nonviolence begins with I'm not allowing you to be violent with me, and I'm going to put a stop to that as quickly as possible. So that's how that runs. This does not make me popular among the lefties who think that they found a friend in me because of some of my apparently left-wing leanings. But you know what? The right to have the tool of a gun, something I am not willing to part with. So anyway, there you go. They like me for my views on cannabis. They don't like me for the views on the Second Amendment, you see. But anyway, it is what it is. I am certainly a mixed bag. Now, here's a funny thing. I know that there is a lot of interest in you know what it was we started talking about for the JFK stuff, but it's so funny anymore to see the strange way with which things are recycled over and over again. The official story, the limited hangouts, the people that are apparently somehow making a living doing certain things that are nothing but disruptive to those of us who attempt to work collectively on occasion, things like that. It's kind of a fascinating thing to also watch potential assets being inserted into your life, into other people's lives, into circumstances. I mean, how is it that you can deny that, you know, that there isn't? You see, that's the thing about the discussion I had with you, V, is that I don't necessarily say that I can endorse every part of your story, but anybody who thinks that, you know, government interference and interjection into people's lives for the purposes of intelligence collection, and the fact that they won't utilize every single type of asset in order to collect it and control information and surveil every single one of us, this is not paranoid delusion. This is just post 9/11 reality.
Okay.
You know, so that's the thing, man. I don't make everybody happy. So this is why, even though I've done, you know, it's above 1,300 shows now. You know, there are a lot of people who have come and gone because for a little while they thought that I didn't think for myself, and maybe I was, you know, in their camp or whatever. And that's where the problems come in, because, you know, you got to remember who it is that you decide to make camp with. Says a lot about who you are. And quite honestly, I find myself in my own camp all too often. And like I said, it's an interesting trail to walk when you got to do it alone most of the time, right?
Well, what did I not convince you of, my friend?
What's that?
So, well, what did I not convince you of?
Well, look, in order to verify, okay, fantastic claims, I would like to see independently verifiable evidence of certain things. The idea that there is a capability to be able to target you in certain ways is indisputable. Now, as to whether you are indeed being targeted, I don't know. And here's the other thing. Like we discussed, there is a possibility, you know, where I said, look, if you remember during the interview, I could potentially be targeted as well and simply not be aware of it. And there are other people who could not be aware of the various types of manipulation that are available through the technologies that exist right now. So there is a varying degree of error here where,
absolutely,
you know, there could be people that are not aware they're being targeted. They just think their lives are going crappy, and they just think they feel bad all the time. And that's not necessarily the case. And then there are others who, you know, quite honestly, I've heard other stories, and I put it to you this way. I've heard stories from people that are similar to yours, except that in listening very, very carefully to what they've said, I felt as though some of it was indeed a figment of their imagination. Now, had it been caused by something that had been done to them? Possibly. But because I couldn't really separate the wheat from the chaff in the story, I didn't feel as though it was a responsible thing for me to bring them on air. Now, listening to your story and talking to you, obviously I brought you on air because I thought there was validity in some of the things you said. And that, at least I knew there was some wheat in there and it wasn't all a figment of your imagination. But that doesn't mean that I can necessarily endorse 100% of what you said, because, again, I require evidence in order to say I absolutely believe somebody, right? So,
fair enough.
Does that make me a bad guy?
Fair enough. I'm sorry, I cut you off, Will. What were you going to say?
No, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just, you know, waiting to see what... Yeah,
well, Will was going to ask you something.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. So, I was curious, what the heck was I going to ask you right now? Geez, what were we talking about? The NSA? Give me a sec. Come back to me.
I cut you off, and I'm sorry. I just that was just a juicy comment that you said. I had to jump on it.
I have that effect on people, V. You know, I definitely throw people.
Oh, yeah, I got it. I wanted to ask you about limited hangouts, because I think that also falls in the purview of stuff we can't really establish, because people always say, oh, this guy's a shill, this guy's COINTELPRO. And it's tough to really prove, I think. What's your take on limited hangouts in general? Do you think there's any people out there or any telltale signs? What can you tell me in general about limited hangouts? Because I think it's an interesting subject.
Well, I'll give you a real controversial piece of information, and I dare somebody to challenge why it is I feel as though there's a reason to question. We've all heard of architects and engineers for 9/11, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
Well, you know, in interviewing Richard Gage twice, I discovered that, first of all, you have to use a script in order to talk to the guy. And if you deviate from said script or you ask any questions that are outside of exactly what has been prescribed and allowed to be asked to Mr. Gage, that's the end of your interview. Okay. And, you know, you also have to jump through some hoops in order to interview this guy. Have any of you guys ever interviewed Richard Gage?
No.
I have not.
Okay, it's a process. Go ahead and try it if you like and see if you don't get the same result. What does that sound like to you if somebody can only discuss things off of their script and can't even, you know, give you a no comment on a question that they don't want to answer?
Well, I've actually had a few people approach me with a script like that, and I said, I don't do scripts.
Yeah, he's the only one.
Everything's organic. that I do.
Exactly. He's the only one I ever did it for. And I'll tell you, doesn't that put a bad feeling in your gut right away that somebody requires a script?
Well, it definitely implies that they have a story that they need.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't know. It's like, are you guilty of murder or something? Are you, because thou protest too much on these, you know, these key elements of information. Why only that? Why is there no speculation? Why is there no deviation from this? So yes, I turn all those interviews down immediately.
Right. Well, that was something, again, Richard Gage was the second guy I interviewed on my show, right? I tried to interview him again on a 9/11 anniversary. He came into a call much like this, where somebody was speculating, and immediately when I announced his presence, he disappeared and never returned. And I was told by his, you know, people, because you have to deal with 2-3 other people in order to get him on the air in the first place, that, because of that, Mr. Gage could not remain on the call. Now, that to me seems like there is a highly controlled situation. That to me seems like we're not out for debate or thought provocation. We're not out for a true discussion. Nothing organic is going to occur here because it has already been pre-selected and choreographed, has it not? Now, I'm not saying that Architects and Engineers is a limited hangout, but wouldn't this give you pause and make you think of something like that?
Absolutely.
You know, when I think of limited hangout also, I think of official things like the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which, took a good look at the murder of Dr. King and the murder of John F. Kennedy, both of which they concluded officially were likely as the result of a conspiracy. I bet a lot of people don't know that. But that's what they concluded, handed it off to the Justice Department, who did absolutely nothing with it. And the guy who wrote the entire, set of everything when it came to the Kennedy assassination, Billings, turned around with the head of that committee, who had acquired the head position in a very interesting way, came out, shortly thereafter, claiming, look, we already solved this. The mob did it. And that was it, despite the fact that he had a whole bunch of evidence that he had just gotten done investigating in his own committee, where they just simply said, well, Oswald's part of it, but we can't conclude that there is another conspirator until there's further investigation and there's no investigation done. What do you call that?
I call that someone who doesn't understand ballistics is what I call that. I agree with you 100%. The bullet that went through Kennedy's upper left shoulder, exited his throat, hit Governor Connally, exited his chest below the left, the right nipple, went through his wrist, and lodged in his thigh, was a fully military round, metal jacket, and the one that hit him in the back of the head that did that now famous Zapruder thing, where his head sprayed like a fan, was a hollow point 30 caliber, not 7.62, and that's a fact. That's not theories. That's not conspiracy. That is a fact, and they ignored it. Any deer hunter can tell you that.
Well, I beg to differ just a bit, and here's why I'm going to beg to differ. You do know that a crime scene analyst has gone over the evidence and determined that shot actually came from the front that hit Kennedy in the head. And even though she has now passed away, no one has professionally challenged her conclusions in her field. Her name was Sherry Feaster, and she wrote a very interesting book. But anyway, yeah, somebody who is a solid and, certified crime scene analyst determined that we got a shot from the front. So, you know what I'm saying? And you don't require the frangible
point. And I agree with you. We can all have, we can all have our ideas on this and everything. I would ask you, and if you can show me, I'll certainly accept it. Where would the shot from the front come from?
The triple overpass.
Now, I've heard that one before.
I'll have to look into that. Everybody's counting. According, you put all the conspiracy theories together, and there was 47 assassins. You know, let's go. And I totally. This is a very difficult case. Very difficult case. I boil it down to common denominators. I truly believe that Oswald fired at least one of the shots. I truly believe, and I know, sir, that you can probably agree with me, two different bullets hit the president that day. Two totally different types of ammunition hit him that day. All we have to do is figure out where they came from, and I do accept your theories and your ideas. Thank you so much.
Mm. No, I appreciate that. Here's an interesting thing, though. You do know that there is evidence for way more than two or even three shots, and not the, you know, 15, 16 crazy amount that a lot of people talk about, but there's actually testimony in the Warren Commission that shows that a shot landed in the grass way ahead of the limousine, which I find kind of interesting considering that, according to the official story, he put together his rifle and never sighted it in because you can't sight.
I am going to give you guys some information here that has never come out. This is a first on the hardcore red pill. My daughter-in-law, Jackie's grandfather, John Henry Brandt I, he mounted the telescopic sight on Lee Harvey Oswald's rifle, okay? And he told him that even though he bore sighted it, he needed to come to the range, he had to sight it in. Oswald was a Marine rifleman, and they all are, and she told me, so what he did was, this sight was not directly above the rifle, it was slightly off and to the left, and he used the sight for power, and he fired the first shot, which missed. He fired the second shot, which would hit the shoulder and everything. And then she thought he fired the third shot, which hit everything. But he immediately went to iron sights right after that. So I totally agree with you, sir. I totally agree with you on that. A lot of people don't know that.
I'm going to have to get you guys together because for you to discuss more of this, maybe on another episode, but we're running out of time.
You didn't know that, did you, B?
Well, we're running out of time, and I want to give Chuck another chance to plug his wonderful show again.
No, I appreciate that, man. We're really that low, huh? Well, look, Ocelli is all you got to know, which is my last name. I don't hide behind anything. That is who I am, okay? And it's spelled O-C-H-E-L-L-I, and it's just a .com, man. I go through my own platform. There are various other networks that do pick up my show, but I originate from my own platform live 5 nights a week, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, and I produce other shows on there as well, and I'm looking to find a select few others that are brave enough to think for themselves as we go forward. And you know what? That's what I'm doing. So appreciate it, man. Really, I do. If I got time, though, I'd love to tell this guy something about that shot in the back that he's talking about.
we don't. That's why I'm going to have to get you guys together. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. This has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with the third eye is king. So educate yourselves.
Absolutely.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.